As we mentioned, we're broadcasting today from the Carl Murphy Fine Arts Center at Morgan State University. As you walk through the front entrance of this building, one of the first things you notice high above you are the words Nathan M. Carter Atrium. The name may not be familiar to all of you, but Nathan Carter led the Morgan State University Choir of over 100 voices to national and international recognition. They've performed for the President, the Pope, and shared the stage with symphonies across the globe. They've been described as one of the best musical ensembles of any kind in the United States. After Nathan Carter's death in 2004, his longtime assistant, Eric Conway, became the director of the choir and chairperson of the Fine Arts Department here at Morgan State. We'll talk with him in a few minutes, so if you have questions about choirs in general, or this choir in particular, our number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can also comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And here is the Morgan State University Choir.
Didn't my Lord deliver, didn't my Lord deliver,
didn't my Lord deliver.
Supposed to applaud because it's too close to the mic and it distorts, but hey, that was fantastic. Thank you. It was an arrangement by Donald McCullough of Didn't My Lord Deliver Daniel. We're joined now by Eric Conway, director of the Morgan State University Choir, chairperson of the Fine Arts Department here at Morgan State. Thanks very much for being with us today.
You're certainly welcome.
And thanks for bringing your friends.
Oh, certainly.
I know that you perform all kinds of music. I wonder, do you feel a special responsibility or affinity to spirituals like that one?
Well, certainly we have a long-standing tradition at this choir as far as keeping the concert version of the spiritual alive. We, in fact, this version you heard right now, we're actually going to perform at the Kennedy Center with the Master Chorale of Washington and Donald McCullough's group. That's going to be in April. But we certainly believe that we have quite a responsibility to keep the spiritual alive here at Morgan.
Well, how do you pick your material?
Well, it's interesting. I almost say that the material picks us in many ways. That is, we've been asked to sing so many different places, and in a way, our schedule in a way drives our repertoire. We actually have an engagement in February, just the next month, at Strathmore Hall, where we're actually singing Free to Sing, the story of the first African-American opera company. So right now we're fast preparing for that engagement in 2 weeks.
All that travel, and I bet it takes just a little bit of rehearsal to get that kind of precision and that kind of power and that kind of unity. I wonder, how much work is it, extra work for the students?
Well, we meet three times a week in the larger choir. In fact, we have as many as 140 voices who are enrolled in the choir, if you will, the university choir. But then we usually travel with a busload. That is, logistically, it's easy to travel with one bus, about mm-hmm. 50. And in fact, we have about 50 here today.
50 here today, and
yes.
that's a pretty outstanding sound.
Yes.
What is it like when there's three times that number?
Oh, my. Well, our big concerts are our annual Christmas concert and our annual spring concert, and that's with the full choir and full orchestra. And we're looking forward to next Christmas. We'll be performing at Murphy Fine Arts Center with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and the new maestro, Maren Alsop.
And I would assume that most of these students are music majors?
Many of them are, but many just have a passion for music. And I got to say that our next soloist actually was a telecom major. His name is Thomas Allen. But often their passion for singing surpassed sometimes the music majors.
Well, where do you find them if they're not music majors?
Duh. Well, we have open auditions and we have posters around, but... To be honest, at this point, the choir's reputation precedes itself, if you will, and people from all over the country say, we want to sing with your choir. However, I tell them, you can't major in choir. The most important thing is you come here and you get your degree. You represent us best by graduating, going out and doing what you need to do.
And they are ambassadors not just for this university here in this country, but for this country when you go abroad.
Yes. Most recently, we just came back from Ghana. We were asked at the invitation of the U.S. ambassador there, Pamela Bridgewater, to help celebrate 50 years of independence of that country. We traveled to Accra, to many Kumasi, many of the, and again, to show us a show of solidarity, the first concert we began where we sang the Ghanaian national anthem, and the Ghanaians sang the U.S. national anthem. That was a great show of solidarity.
I understand, in fact, it's one of the traditions of this choir that wherever you go, you sing a song from that country.
Yes, and certainly it breaks down initial barriers, if you will, just to show that we want to be experience their culture.
Tell us a little bit about the man we started talking about in this segment, Nathan Carter, who was, I guess, your mentor, too.
Yes. I was never a student here, but I worked side by side with Nathan Carter for some 20 years. And certainly, you know, it's funny how things work out. I never imagined being in this position. In fact, I used to say, woe the fool to follow him.
Tough act to follow.
Yes, but I was that fool. But
that laughter you hear is coming from behind him from the choir.
No, but things have worked out. It's made for a very smooth transition. Certainly, this choir has, reputation is made possible because of the hard work of Nathan Carter. Many say, oh, what was difficult to follow a man like that. But I'd much rather have a tradition started than start from scratch. And he certainly laid down the foundation.
What about his traditions have you made it a principle to keep? And what's changed?
Well, the one dynamic of all of his choirs was the energy. And what makes the Morgan State Choir so incredible? Well, I believe it's the energy, it's the passion, the spirit in their sound. It's very infectious. We've had, of course, in choirs, it's not just about the music, it's about the camaraderie, the fellowship. But again, when people come to our concerts, I hope that they're spiritually stronger than when they first came.
This has got to be a difficult job. I mean, you're running different units, you're booking concerts around the world, you're arranging travel. you're also got some administrative duties here at the school.
Oh, certainly. But again, you do what you have to do in this world. And again, another cliche, but it's a labor of love. And if you love music, if you believe in this group, if you believe what you're doing, it's not work.
And I wonder, previous members of the choir, do they keep in touch? Do they come back and listen and say, boy, it wasn't like that in my day?
No, they've been very, very supportive. In fact, this past October, we had an alumni concert. And they were just very, very supportive. They've been back to many of our concerts. And they're just saying, thank you for keeping Dr. Carter's legacy alive.
And Dr. Carter, obviously, an important figure at this university, an important figure in American music.
Certainly.
As not just a director, as a composer, too.
Oh, certainly. Composer, but more arranger. He, again, that the tradition of William Dawson, just many choral directors on many different campuses, they had a tradition of arranging the music. You know, they had a group all ready to sing their work. And he did, as did Dr. Nathan Carter. Now, actually, he has a Nathan Carter choral series in GIA publications. So if you like any of the music we're doing today, I believe most of it is available on GIA publications.
We're talking with Eric Conway, director of the Morgan State University Choir, chairperson of the Fine Arts Department at Morgan State University, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And why don't we get a chance to listen to one of Dr. Carter's arrangements? If I can help somebody.
If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show
my living shall not be.
If I Could Help Somebody, an arrangement by Dr. Nathan Carter. The voices you just heard, some of the members of the Morgan State University Choir with soloist Thomas Allen. We're also joined by Dr. Eric Conway as the director of the Morgan State University Choir and chairperson of the Fine Arts Department. You can hear more selections from the choir and visit their website by going to npr.org/talkofthenation. Our program was produced today by Gwen Ooten, Dahlia Martinez, and Addie Wizenant. Additional help from our intern, Amanda Stupai. Drew Reynolds is our technical director. He had help today from Kimberly Jones, Michael Cullen, and Nathan Bark. Special thanks to WEAA here in Baltimore. We had help from Marcella Shepard, Courtney Alston, LaFontaine Oliver, Sandy Mallory, and Zachary Coleman. Here at Morgan State, we're grateful for the help of Cheryl Williams, Shirley Basiel, Dunlap, Dale Austin, Bill Carson, Deborah Grady, and Earl Richardson. Tomorrow, Science Friday, Ira Flato will be here. Lynn Neary here on Monday and Tuesday. I'll see you Wednesday. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.